Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Marks and Reese is back. John Marks, Ike Reese joining us right now. As listen, Ike, we've had the pleasure of talking to our next guest a few times here over the last year, with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, and now maybe heading back to it. He's the Hall of Famer Tony Dungy. Does a great job. NBC Football Night in America. Tony, John, and Ike in Philly. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, always good to be on with you guys. And I guess if the Eagles keep winning, we can just keep talking, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know the thing, Coach. Just like last year, John and I, we obviously recognize and noticed your faith that you have in this team, considering where they are, but not so much just in them. But, you know, you seem to have sort of a perspective on Nick that I don't hear from a lot of the other national analysts. And it piqued our interest just to know what it is that you see in Nick Foles and what it is that you think that makes him the player that he is and to be able to accomplish the things that he has.
Well, I think, number one, the team really believes in Nick Foles. And it's not as if they didn't believe in Carson Wentz. They do. But it's rare when your backup quarterback engenders the same type of feeling as your starting quarterback does, and there's no drop-off. And I think that's what people around the country anticipate. Oh, well, it's a backup quarterback going in. They can't play as well. And I think they play just as well with Nick Foles in there as they do with Carson. And the thing that gave me the sense that I wanted to pick them against the Bears is the things that Nick does really well, the play-action passes, getting rid of the ball quick, being in rhythm, on time, all of those things, that's what you had to do against the Bears' defense. You couldn't let their pass rush overwhelm you. You had to try to run the ball a little bit and use the play-action game. And I think Coach Peterson, when Nick is in there, that's what he leans to. And I thought that was going to give them a great shot against the Bears' defense.
Hey, Tony, I think we all see it with Nick to where he can have a game where he's not having his best game, and you have to give the Bears credit, too. That's the number one defense in the NFL. They played really well, but when it mattered, when they needed a drive for a touchdown, Nick just seems like that's where he's at his best. What is it? What is it that gives Nick that? Is that just a natural thing, and everybody else that's on the team also senses that, too?
Yeah, and I don't know what that is. He talked about his basketball background, a lot. Maybe that one in the last shot, in a tight game. I'm not sure. But he has the ability to relax and just do what he does and not let the moment get to him. And I think the players feed on that, and they believe that. And when they're in that situation, it's like somehow, hey, Nick's going to make a play. And we believe it, so let's go out and make it happen.
What do you believe he is, Coach, ultimately in this league? He has the potential to be a free agent coming up. Reports out there, Eagles may maneuver some things to where they can agree to try to trade him and get something in return for him. But he ultimately may not be here going forward. And I'm just wondering your thoughts on him when you look at him, where he's at in his career. Like, is he a guy that another organization can entrust with their franchise moving forward? Or do you see him as a guy that's a placeholder for a younger quarterback until he's ready to take over?
No, I definitely think Nick Foles is a winner. I know the Eagles would love to have him just in case something like this happens. I mean, you can make a playoff run with Nick Foles. The Jacksonville Jaguars, I would have to think, would be sitting there saying, you know what, if we had Nick Foles, where would we be with this defense and our running back? I think there's teams out there who are going to say this guy can take us to the playoffs.
That's Coach Tony Dungy. Tony, so let's say that, because you have to imagine the conversations we're having up here is trade Foles, trade Wentz, keep both. And Ike and I discussed the keep them both factor. And while it's worked, and it worked to a Super Bowl last year, who knows if it works for another Super Bowl this year, we'll see. It also can create some controversy. And if the success that Nick has had again, if the Eagles were to bring him back next year and Carson is the starter, do you think that that could work, or do you think that it would do more harm than benefit just for the psyche of the quarterback you hope is going to lead you to a Super Bowl for the next 10 years?
No, if finances were not an issue, it could work because of the character of these two guys. Strong Christian guys who are brothers as well as teammates, and neither one of them, I don't think, cares who gets the credit. They're both competitive. They both want to play. They both feel like they should be the starting quarterback. But I think, you know, they would function well together. I just think financially it can't happen because of the salary cap and what you'd have to pay. So realistically, I think this has to be a situation where Philadelphia says, let's get what we can get. Carson Wentz is our future, and we're riding with him.
Coach, how difficult, obviously now the Eagles going down to New Orleans and earlier in the season, 48-7 in November. The second game that you play now in the playoffs, do you feel like that's going to help the Eagles? It'll help Doug, it'll help the rest of the team? Being that they already played, that they really got embarrassed, coming back into the playoffs, does that benefit the Eagles?
Well, I think in that situation, the team that lost always benefits. I said earlier in the week, 2005, we were 13, started out 13-0 with the Colts. We played Pittsburgh in November, and we beat them. It was 26-7, but it could have been 40-7. It was the same type of dominating game. And they came back in the division round of the playoffs and beat us in Indianapolis. And what happens is you're the team that won, you hesitate to make any changes because everything you did worked the first time around. So you can't come into the team meeting and say, hey, that game plan we had when we won 48-7, forget it. We're going to do everything different. The team would look at you like you're crazy. So you hesitate to make changes. The team that lost, the Eagles, they will look at the tape. Here's what we did wrong. Here's some things we can do better. They'll come in with a little bit different plan. And so they always have not only the motivation, but just the idea, hey, we're going to do some things a little bit differently. So I think that's a big advantage to the Eagles having lost that first game. Now, is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. But, I think there's some things they're going to be able to do.
Before we get your final thoughts on who you think's going to win the game, if you're gracious enough to give us an answer, I just want to get your thoughts on sort of this new wave in the NFL hiring of the head coaches, right? You certainly are one of the pioneers, although Art Shell was the first African-American head coach. You were the first to win a Super Bowl as an African-American. I'm just not so much from a racial standpoint, just from the standpoint of you're talking about youthful coaches that don't have a ton of experience at this level, more or less even a head coaching level, and they're getting head coaching jobs in the NFL now. You view that as a good thing or something that can be a cautionary tale? It's worked in areas like L.A. with Sean McVay. I just wonder, what's your thoughts on this sort of new wave of hiring in the NFL where, like, guys like Cliff Kingsbury gets a job, and I'm like, I don't know.
He's 5 years old, 500 in college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm just, your thoughts on that, Coach?
Well, I like owners thinking outside the box. I think that's good. I'm not sure owners know exactly what they're looking for. And so when you don't know what you're looking for, it's easy to be a copycat and just say, I'll try to find Sean McVay. So I think that's a little bit of an issue. I'm disappointed because I think now we've got a lot of ownership who's just in this mentality of, I've got to find the next quarterback guru. That's who's going to be the best head coach. Well, Sean McVay knows X and O's. He knows quarterbacks. But Sean McVay is a leader, and there's a reason why they're winning besides the fact that he's a good offensive mind. And I think that's what people have lost track of. As far as the minority coaches, if you continue to go down this road and you're only looking at quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators, it's going to be difficult because those aren't positions that minority coaches get to have. So you may be overlooking a big, big cast of people, and I think that's a mistake.
All right, Coach, moment of truth. Can Nick do it again? Can the Eagles win at the Saints on Sunday?
Nick can definitely do it again. The Eagles can win. I'm not sure who I'm taking this time around. New Orleans is so tough at home. I have to think for a couple more days who I'm going to pick.
So
I'm waffling on this.
I'm doing the same thing.
You know what? at the end of the day, I've been riding with the Eagles so long, I've picked them in every playoff game for the last 2 years. You know, as much as I love New Orleans and their home field advantage, there's something with this Philadelphia Eagles championship heart, their championship mentality, their underdog motive. It's going to be hard to pick against them.
How difficult is that home field down in New Orleans?
It is. The Saints play much better at home. They're jazzed up. It's a raucous atmosphere. The noise, you know, definitely helps their defense. But by the same token, Tampa went in there, put up 48 points, won a game early in the season. Pittsburgh, but for two questionable pass interference penalties, they're going to win that last big game down there in Week 16. So they're not unbeatable by any stretch of the imagination. It's a tough task, but you have to be a composed team with explosive offense, and Philadelphia has both of those.
He does. Coach, always a pleasure. Yep. We appreciate it, and we'll be watching you this weekend on NBC. Thank you so much.
All right. Sounds good. Good to be with you guys, and hopefully the Eagles can win. We can do it again next week.
Appreciate it, Coach.
We will hold you to that. There he is.
Thank you.
Thanks,
yes.
Coach.
Oh, if they win, call me back.
Yes. All right. Sure. Thanks. There he is, Coach Tony Dungy.
Not if you pick the Saints.
He's picking the Eagles.
I know, because you've been picking them every week.
He hasn't picked against them once.
Once.
You remember last year when everybody was jumping?
Mm-hmm.
He was saying Nick Foles can win. Eagles fans, trust me. You guys are going to be fine.
He was the only one who picked him Sunday.
It's one of my favorite moments from this year is there's an image. It's on our Twitter at Mark Reese WIP. When Tony picks the Eagles to beat the Rams, and we're all watching, like, is he doing this as a joke?
Right.
And they're all laughing at him. Tirico's laughing at him. Rodney Harrison is laughing at him. They have the Pro Football Focus win probability at the bottom, and it's 15% Eagles. And he's sitting there, stone-faced, like, I got it.
Yep.
Yeah. They're going to win this game. And that game was everything. That game is when it changed, and he saw it coming.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And even what he said right there, he goes, I know that New Orleans has this home field advantage and Drew Brees and everything else, but he feels the special about this team.
He loves Nick, man.
He loves Nick. Who loves Nick more, me, Giglio, or Dungy?
Wade.
Wade and Chester does. Wade and Chester should have to get the tattoo, not me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, by the way, Nate, we'll see what happens this week. But
We're not removing that tattoo.
No, what I'm saying is I could have huge marital problems here.
Oh, because you're going. That's right. You did put it out there again.
So you were off when I told the story. I'm at New Year's Day dinner over my in-laws. And I mean, I didn't tell my in-laws I got a life-size face of Nick Foles on my back. So they didn't know.
Really?
No, they didn't know.
And the wife didn't tell everybody.
She told nobody that she wanted to tell nobody.
She was too embarrassed to tell anybody.
Mad.
Yeah, exactly.
She's mad because I didn't exactly handle the information well, telling her when I was getting it done. The night before, I was like, oh, by the way, I'm getting
Nick Foles' face tattooed on my back.
Oh, it won't be big. Don't worry. So I've been on the record on the air saying that if they win another Super Bowl, absolutely I'll get another Nick tattoo. And so my future brother-in-law says he's engaged to my sister-in-law. He says, like, yeah, he's already said on the air that that he'll get another Nick Foles tattoo. And my wife's like, what? And I'm like, well, I mean, what do you want me to do? I kind of got to do it again. And she's like, and the face is just like,
oh, my God.
What? And I go, but I don't have to do it.
Right.
No one's going to give me major crap if I don't.
No.
I already have the fat head on my back.
As a matter of fact, I would suggest you don't do it again. You've already done it once. Once is enough.
Unless I do it again.
Can you just add to the one that's already there?
Yeah, just add the body to the head.
No.
There.
Oh, so I have a full.
So you got a full figure.
Okay.
Nick Foles, right?
Yeah.
You have the shoulder pads, the jersey, and the number, and the pants.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I get the Napoleon Dynamite guy on my back, too.
Oh,
instead.
That's even better.
Yeah, so you can compare and contrast, right?
That's even better.
Yeah, great idea. 888-729-9494. Yeah, so what I'm saying is that we weren't talking for a couple hours there after the dinner.
Oh, I know what that's like.
I know you do. And I said it before, I'll say it again. All you like the Jack Fritzes of the world that are still in love.
Oh, yeah,
in the marriage.
Like
just the best advice I ever got when I got married. Never go to bed mad at each other.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And 20 years later, I'm like, yeah, who the hell pulled that one off?
Right, like you guys never go to bed mad at each other, right?
Yeah, 20 years later, who pulled that one off? Well, you didn't go to bed mad at each other. Right.
888-729-9494.
Luckily, sometimes that could be a good thing.
Yeah. Well,
you know, you're mad at each other, that kind of, you know.
Oh.
I'm just saying. You know.
Ooh, the makeup.
Hey, man, where you going?
Oh, you're right, though. You're right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.